Welcome to Connection Point, the podcast of West Kern Christian Center. For more information regarding the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit our website at wkcconnect.org. And now for the message.
Like I said, tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about really praying one for another. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is stuff you've heard before. There's not going to be probably a lot new. I just wanted it to be practical, though, and just to kind of help you get a jump start into the month. As I said, people are not going to do things for which they don't feel they have an aptitude. You know, I don't even know if I turned this on. Let me check real quick. If they don't feel that they're good at it or they have an aptitude for it, chances are people are not going to do it. And that's true when it comes to prayer or anything else. There's nothing like watching someone when you ask them to volunteer and do something in a church for which they don't feel confident. You can kind of watch the blood drain out of their face kind of thing, you know. And the same thing is true, though, when you're asking someone, you know, to pray or to serve or to do anything where they feel like, well, I would love to, I have a heart to, but I don't feel like I know how to. And for those of us who've been around the things of God for a long time, we might take it for granted that prayer is not, you know, maybe a challenging or difficult thing. But at the same time, I think all of us, I know I myself, I've been doing this for many years, and yet I feel like I'm always listening for wisdom from people who have skill or knowledge or understanding in certain areas of the things of God that I don't. And so we can always learn, amen. And some things you learn by just the study, the research, the reading. Other things you learn by doing. It's kind of like driving a car. You know, there's a certain amount you can learn in the classroom, but there's a reason I always say they put those warning placards on cars that, you know, are driver training cars, because they want you to know, here they come, get off the sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? They want you to have fair warning that just because they've been in the classroom, they don't know everything about the skill. And the same thing is true with prayer. There's certain things you can learn by hearing me teach or other Bible teachers teach, but there's going to be some things you learn, particularly on a personal level, when it comes to prayer by doing it. The more you do it, the more you realize, you know, I could sense I really connected with God. I felt confident in my prayers when I implemented X, Y, Z. So we're going to share some real practical things with you tonight. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to a couple places. Let's go ahead and start with Colossians 4:12. Colossians 4:12. And this we talked about a little on Sunday. In fact, all of our messages recently have been kind of gearing us toward this month. So, you know, again, I feel like if we're going to get the most out of it, we got to kind of be on the same page with one another and with what the Spirit of God would have us do, right? And we shared this. This is, speaking of Epaphras, who was kind of an emissary from the church of Colossae to Paul. He was in prison. He was going through a difficult time. And so the churches would periodically send people to kind of send relief or minister to Paul's needs and kind of relieve him in his while he was in prison, while he was incarcerated. And so here the Bible says that Epaphras, Paul speaking, says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Then he goes on in verse 13 to say, for I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. So what he's talking about is really a regional church from which this man comes. And he said he has a great zeal for you. He labors fervently for you in prayer. Now here's the reality of it. We're going to talk about praying for saints tonight. But you know, the fact of the matter is, you're going to pray more fervently for those with whom you have some connection than those whom you do not know. I'm concerned about the persecuted church, but what helps is when I read an article and it puts a face on it. You know what I'm saying? Because then I can feel some kind of emotional connection to that individual. I feel like I can pray not only more effectively, but my heart's more invested. Like the lady that we just talked about recently in Pakistan, a mother of five, young, I think in her 20s, and she's basically scheduled for execution because of her faith. Well, we obviously hear stories like that and it grabs our heart. But how many of you know her family and those who know her are going to be obviously a lot more fervent in their prayers for her than those of us who don't have that connection? Likewise, the kids in Pakistan that we support, when we hear Pastor John talk about how difficult it is over there and that, you know, he might have to close the orphanage at some point, it touches us in a way that it would not for those who just kind of do a passing glance on them at Facebook or whatever else and don't have that kind of connection. Somebody has said, I forget exactly, I'm just kind of putting my words to it, but you create an intimacy to whom you pray, with whom you pray, and for whom you pray. And I believe that's true. If you're praying with people, you get to know them on a different level. Prayer is an intimate thing. The Bible even talks about prayer like going into the chamber or the closet with the Lord. It's an intimacy. And so when you pray with people, there's a part of you that's more vulnerable than, let's say, if you're just, you know, doing something more natural or not as deeply spiritual as that. Likewise, obviously, we know it cultivates an intimacy for God, with God, but it also creates an intimacy, cultivates an intimacy with those for whom we are praying. In other words, you have an emotional investment in there. When you've been praying for, let's say, you know, Cameron, my son, you know, he was doing some training over the summer. Well, you know him. So when you hear he's going to be doing something for the Lord, you're more invested in someone that might be, again, maybe sees the Facebook post, but doesn't have a personal connection or a personal intimate investment with somebody like that. So what we want to try to do this month, particularly while we're praying for our nation, while we're praying for our community, I really want us to pray for one another, for the church, for God's vision for this place. I believe God's got some really good things ahead. And you know, sometimes you can go through ups and downs in life and ministry and so forth and so on. But Marie and I were talking the other day, and we just believe that God's got some exciting things for us throughout the rest of the year, and particularly in the coming year. And I would just like to see, kind of hit a prayer momentum going into September to launch us into the fall and what God has for us in the future. And that's why, like we said, when we create these things like the ladies' prayer meetings or the men's meetings that we're going to be having, these kinds of things, the idea behind them is to create a venue where you can invite friends and people that you know, that you know need to know Jesus, that need to make a connection with the Lord, and it creates a venue where you can invite them to come and be a part of the church of what God's doing through this ministry. In Ephesians chapter 6, I got you in Colossians right now, right? Go to Ephesians 6, if you will. Another passage of Scripture very similar as far as praying for one another. But notice this in verse 18. It says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, again, this is what I wanted to kind of, maybe I could have gone in other order, it would have been better maybe. But here he's talking about praying for the saints in general. And like I said, I mean, all of us have probably prayed prayers like, Lord, bless the missionaries, you know. And I don't know really how effective that is, but when you know a missionary, amen, you're going to be more effective and more intentional in praying for someone with whom you have a relationship or a connection than you are someone that's just generic out there. So, again, we're to pray for the saints, but I think, again, it's more important that we pray for those with whom God has given us some kind of connection or responsibility. You know, we're responsible one for another. Just kind of like with your own natural family, I'm responsible for my kids, I'm responsible for my wife. I'm not as responsible for my neighbors and those who live, you know, further out in the community. There is certainly a certain measure of responsibility we have with everyone, right? We're supposed to treat one another well, so forth and so on. But you know what I'm saying is wherever God has given us the more personal relationships, we have a greater measure of responsibility there. And so we're to pray for saints, but particularly we're to pray for one another. Also go to James 5:16, if you will. James 5:16. And again, talking about praying for one another. Here James says, confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, I don't think this is just talking about dropping our dirty laundry on one another, but I think it's saying, if you're going through a difficulty or a challenge, or there's an area of life where you're struggling to overcome, that's why we have a community of faith. And obviously, you can't just do this with anybody, but all of us ought to have some relationships of accountability, a safe place where we feel like we can say, you know, I'm struggling. Maybe it's in a marriage. Maybe it's in a financial arena. Maybe it's in an area where you don't feel comfortable just telling anybody and everybody, but you have those relationships where you feel there's a level of trust in which you can say, I'm struggling in this area. I could use some prayer. And so we call them relationships of accountability. He said, pray for one another that you may be healed. God can heal a marriage. God can heal your finances. God can heal your body, right? You know, I talked with Wendy before. She's getting a scan tomorrow, a little physical challenge she has. And she said, I'm wiped out, you know, working today. She said, I probably won't be there. I said, well, we'll pray for you. Well, that's the advantage of being connected with people. There's other people have the same challenges in life, but they don't have a family, a church family, a spiritual family that will hook up with them in faith and believe God for healing, right? But thank God we have that with one another. So why would we not take advantage of that and pray one for another in areas where we're facing challenges in life, right? And so he says, pray for one that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or as the Amplified Translation says, makes tremendous power available. Now when it comes to praying for one another, praying for the needs that we each have, how do we know what to pray for? You know, for example, you know how it is. I've seen this happen so many times. You'll see people come through the door. And you know, when we come to church, for the most part, we put on our Sunday face. You know the Sunday face, right? It's the happy face. It's the everything is okay in my life face, right? But really, we all know that we face challenges. I would imagine that if we were to stop and have testimonies today and say, tell us the darkest moments of your life. We're not going to do that, so relax. But I'm just going to say, if we were to do that, let's say we had a moment where the Lord just opened you up and encouraged you to share something that you knew would be an encouragement for someone else going through a similar difficulty. I mean, I'm sure we would all be shocked to see that those of us that are sitting here, well-adjusted, doing well today, went through such a dark hour. I remember one time in my first church, I just felt prompted one Sunday. You know, I'm always teaching, preaching. I felt one day just prompted to come and say, we're going to have a testimony service. And it ended up with three guys in my church testifying, and nobody knew the backstory of these three guys. And they were so unique and distinct one from another. But by the time we got done, I'm telling you, we had church. We had one guy who had been a Vietnam vet. He'd come back, was not well adjusted to the change, tried to commit suicide, shot himself point blank in the chest and didn't die. And I had no idea he had gone through this. And he shared how his nephew had led him to the Lord in his Volkswagen Bug. And it was just a tremendous story. And then another one of my guys was a former biker, you know, a former one percenter. And he had been through, you know, literally a fight with the Hell's Angels. He said, we were on top of the roof throwing Molotov cocktails down on the Hell's Angels. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know. And what was amazing about that is some years later, by the way, there was a ministry that came up from L.A. to Bishop, where I was pastoring, and they were staying with different ones in our church. We had a pretty good sized church, about 180 people, and there was this one guy, and he's staying with this guy that has this biker testimony, and as they got talking, they realized that the guy staying with my elder that had been in that biker gang, he was one of the Hell's Angels that was down there on the ground that they're throwing Molotov cocktails on. And they looked at one another and there was this moment of tension, you know, because some of those old feelings kind of rise up momentarily. And then it kind of broke loose and they realized, we have a new identity today. That's not who we are. That's not who we are today. That's who we used to be. But we're new men in Christ Jesus. And so there was this great camaraderie and connection that they had to this, you know, shared experience that wasn't so good. But I'm just saying that all of us have things inside of us that other people don't know. You know, a lot of times, you know, having pastored for many years, you know, I think sometimes people think you're telepathic or psychic and they're going to know when you're going through a particular crisis. But like I said, we come to church with our Sunday face on. And as far as we know, everybody's doing great, looks good, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, sometimes people will share something and it kind of just knocks you off your feet, not realizing they were going through something so dire. I remember in the last church I pastored in New England, I had a gentleman that, he's always a very positive, he's a French-Canadian guy, very short guy, but he's always positive. He always had just, you know, kind of a good, encouraging word for everybody. And then one day, I saw this post on Facebook. I think it was Facebook. It might have been, back then it might have been MySpace. I mean, this is a while back. But nevertheless, he talked about how depressed he was in the holiday season because that's when his wife had died. And I had no idea that had gone on in his life. I didn't know him back then. And so I actually ended up calling him saying, let's go to coffee. We had a great conversation. But again, you know, we can be praying for things in people's lives and sometimes not even knowing what they're going through. As we're praying, God will send relief and comfort to them. Amen. And so again, the advantage of praying one for another. So how do we know how to pray or what to pray one for another? Well, very simply, number one, from what they tell us. Here in James 5, it says, confess your faults, your trespasses, your sins, things you're struggling with. So sometimes people can let us know. That's always great because then we can pray with some understanding and knowledge. But if we don't know that, or even if people are shy about the details and don't want to share with everyone, one thing we can always do in praying one for another is to pray what God tells us to pray for each other. Now, I'm going to give you a few references. If you're writing notes, you can take them down, or, you know, if you want to get them from me later. But, you know, we talk often about the prayers of Paul. And I don't want to belabor this too much because we talk about it so much. But if you're looking for things to pray for people and you don't know what to pray, grab a hold of just one of these and pray it every day. Pray it for me. Pray it for Maria. Pray it for the other members of this church. Pray it for yourself. These are all prayers that obviously are inspired by the Spirit because they're in the Scripture. And the key to praying and being effective in prayer is knowing that you're praying in line with the will of God, right? And my favorite of these, let me just give you a couple of references, but I'm going to kind of launch us to my favorite of these. But in Ephesians 1:15 through 23, Paul prays that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. In other words, you may be seeking for God's will in your life, and all of a sudden God can give you revelation. The Greek word apokalypsis, it means He can take the lid off and let you see inside so that you know what the mind and will of God is for your life. So he prays for them that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Maybe you're seeking God's will for your life. Well, you need to pray for yourself that God would give you a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is God's what to do. If you need to make a decision in life, you don't know which way to go, you can pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And God can show you what you need to do, what the next step for you in life is. And then he prays for them in Ephesians 3, among other things, that they would be strengthened with God's might by His Spirit in their inner man. In other words, that you would just have that inner strength so that you would not fail or faint or grow weary. Amen. Those are great things to pray for people. And then Philippians 1, 9 through 11, he prays that they would grow and abound in the love of God. I mean, these are all great things to pray for one another. And then Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Let's take a look at this one. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. This is always the one I use as like kind of my favorite. And the reason why is because it seems to encapsulate the other prayers and bring them all together in this one. I think they're all good to pray. And maybe each week you'll want to take one of Paul's prayers. But I can tell you, just going through Ephesians, Colossians, and I'm trying to think of some of the other primary ones. But if you just go through Ephesians and Colossians, there's several places where Paul gives us insight in how to pray. But this is one of my favorite ones right here. He says in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience," or that means endurance, "and long-suffering with joy." Now, that's pretty meaty, but if you break it down, look at what he's saying. Number one, I'm praying for you that you know the will of God, that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Not only what to do, but how to do it, right? If somebody said, "Pastor, what's the best way we can pray for you?" That's exactly what I would say. I'd say, pray that I would be filled with the knowledge of God's will as I lead this church. That I would have His wisdom. That I would have His know-how. Amen. I don't think you could pray for any minister anything better than to say that they would be connected and on the same page with God as to His plan for their life and ministry, right? So pray that we be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of Him, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in everything we do. I mean, those are, I don't know about you, but that's how I want my life to be. I want my life not to just be busy. I want it to be fruitful, right? And then he goes on to talk about being strengthened. After all, if you're going to do the work of God, you've got to be strengthened. You can wear yourself out serving Jesus, but God can strengthen you and give you endurance to see the thing through. So these are great ways to pray. Now, if I'm praying this for you, let's say I'm praying this for Maria, I would simply pray it this way. Lord, I ask that you would fill Maria today with the knowledge of your will, that you would give her wisdom and spiritual understanding, that she might walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you in all things, that you would strengthen her with all might, according to your glorious power, unto all perseverance, especially with those first graders, Lord, and long-suffering with joy. Amen. And she will receive that. Praise God. But, I mean, I'm not being facetious. That's exactly how I would pray. I say, Lord, give her endurance, give her strength, give her wisdom, give her knowledge and insight into your will. You know, like I always say sometimes, you know, you might be in the kitchen. God knows how to cook every recipe in your cookbook. God knows how to fix a 56 Chevy. God knows everything. And He'll give you wisdom in life, daily practical things, as well as His overarching will for your life. So we can know the will of God by what people tell us, but we can also know the will of God by what God tells us. And I've got a whole bunch of these prayers of Paul. Maybe we'll write them down and make them available, and maybe even write them out and give you a sample. Maybe we'll have that for you on Sunday. But I think it would be good, if you don't know where else to start, start right there with Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Pray this prayer and just say, Lord, I'm praying for my friends at Western Christian Center. I'm praying for my pastor and his wife. I'm praying for so-and-so and so-and-so, and I pray that they would have. And then go right on in and pray that prayer for them and mean it from your heart. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available. Amen. So we can also pray for them in the way that God leads us. And then simply we can pray for them as the Spirit of God leads us. Go with me, if you will, again, looking at Ephesians 6, if you'll go back there. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time praying for one another. Ephesians 6:18 again. Notice what Paul says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice this, supplication in the Spirit. One translation or one person said the Greek rendering really means with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you how this will work. There's a law of physics, and I try to think, I think it's the kinesis or kinetics, I can't remember which is the science behind it, but that it's easier to direct a moving object. And one of the things you'll find is that if you yield to God as you're praying, and you can just be doing this whether you're praying in other tongues or praying in English, as you're praying, you'll notice at times God will quicken things to your heart. I don't know how many times I've been praying and suddenly a face will flash in front of my mind. And I'm not thinking about them. That's the farthest thing from my mind. A lot of times we can think, wow, I haven't thought of them in a long time. I ought to give them a call. God may be prompting you to pray for that individual. And sometimes, even as you're praying for the church, certain things God might quicken to your heart. And as you begin to pray, you'll just get a burden for that person. That kind of urgency will come on your heart. And just pray out everything you know to pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit for them. But pray what you know to pray. Be led by the Spirit of God. Because a lot of times, we don't even know what we need. Right? We think I need XYZ and we really need ABC. We think we need God to get me this job, but really God's got another job over here that's far superior, better benefits, better salary. We don't know that it's even there. And so oftentimes God will prompt us to pray for people. I've shared with you before, you know, a good friend of mine that used to live around here, he said that one day early in the morning he was prompted to, you know, he woke up and he's prompted to get out of bed and go pray. It's like 4 a.m. So he said, I went to my living room and I just began to pray in the Spirit. And he said, as I was praying, all of a sudden I had a vision. And I've shared this story many times before, but he said, in this vision I saw an airplane. And he said, I knew that it was flying over Australia or New Zealand. Sometimes you just know. Sometimes you just know that you know. And he said, I just knew. And he said, I saw this aviator. I knew it was a Christian aviator. You know, flying supplies or Bibles or something like that. And he said, I saw him go down in the bush. And he said, I saw his plane crash land. And he said, I saw the man lifting his hands up to heaven saying, Lord, send petrol. Send petrol. Send gas, in other words. My plane ran out of gas. And so he said, here I am in Taft, California at 4 a.m. praying for some guy. Obviously, God showed him what he was praying for. He said, here I am praying for a man on the other end of the world. We think, well, couldn't God have waken up somebody in a different time zone? Right? I mean, you know, somebody that's already awake. But you know, it's amazing. Oftentimes we assume or presume that everybody and their brother is just ready and willing and open and sensitive and responsive to God and ready to pray. That's not always the case. Sometimes there's nobody else available. Sometimes there's no one else that's keen or sensitive or listening to the voice of God. You may be the only one that is responding to the Spirit of God for a particular given need at any given time. So I want to encourage you as we kind of go into this month. I believe this is going to be a breakthrough month. I already believe in my heart that things are transpiring to move it in that direction. I really do with all my heart. And I have an affirmation. Just even what the Spirit of God said to us Sunday morning, I believe that. I believe God's going to take the emergency break off some people's lives. But I think it's not just as we're praying individually, but as we're praying. You know, you think about it. You might be praying for the other people in this church. But if we're praying in concert one with another, you got all these people praying for you. Right? So there's something about that agreement in prayer. And like I said, you say, well, I don't know what to pray for exactly. Start with that Colossians 1 prayer. And just begin to pray that way. And begin to pray what you know to be the will of God. Search the Scriptures. Find out what God tells us to pray. And like I said, I'll probably bring maybe Sunday and have it available for you next week as well. The prayers of Paul written out. I gave you those 3x5 cards because what I would like you to do while we're here together is I want you to think about some particular things, particular individuals, particular situations, one or two things. You don't have to be detailed if you don't want. You don't have to put names if you don't want. Maybe just some initials, something. Give us something to stand with you in faith about. And if you don't have any particular needs, maybe you're thinking of somebody else, someone at your work that you know you desperately want to see them come to Christ. And just put enough information so we can pray. We're not trying to be nosy. We don't want in your business. But we want to know enough so we can hook up in faith with you regarding whatever needs you have. Maybe it's a financial need. Like I said, maybe it's a marital need. Maybe it's one of your children or grandchildren. Maybe it's somebody else in your family. Whatever the thing is, I want to give you a moment to think about that and write some things down. And then when we have the offering later and receive our offering, we'll collect these. And then when we meet together on Sunday nights, we'll pray over some of these needs. And like I said, we're not trying to know what's going on in your life or anything like that. We're not trying to be nosy. I have no interest in drama. We just want to be able to hook up with you in faith and see this need met in your life. We want to see whatever the bondages are that are holding you back, whatever that thing is that's keeping you from living the life God intends for you to live. We want to see that thing moved out of the way, right? We want to see you move forward in the plan and purpose of God. I believe that also as we pray for the church, God's going to bust some things open. And I just want to encourage you to be praying for us during this month. You know, always pray for your pastor. He needs it. He's not, you know, sometimes we might, again, have our Sunday face on. But we might be going through some challenges and feeling stretched ourselves. So pray for us. Pray for the church. Pray for the church finances. Pray for open doors and opportunities. Pray for people to come. I mean, there's just so many good things that we can pray. There's a lot of people who need what this church has to offer. And as we, particularly as we have these fellowship gatherings and the men meet and the ladies meet, there's going to be people whom we can invite to these kinds of meetings that will find themselves finally connecting to a spiritual family that they've never found before. Sometimes those kind of meetings are better than a church meeting. A lot of people, it's amazing to me because I've done this all my life, but it's amazing to me how many people, for how many people, coming through that door is a huge deal. Because maybe they've come through those church doors before and met with rejection or had a bad church experience. Or maybe they feel like, man, you don't know how bad a life I've lived. I've had people come through my church doors many a time and said, man, I was afraid if I came in here, the walls would fall down. Hey, look, you're not as bad as you think you are. God's met a lot worse and healed and redeemed and saved and delivered. So however bad we think our past is, it's certainly nothing the blood of Jesus cannot wash away. Amen. But for a lot of people, coming through those doors is a big deal. And so we want to pray for our church family. We want to pray for our future church family. You know, you got a lot of people that say, you know, I'm praying for my son, my daughter's husband, wife now, so that when they meet them, God's already done a work in their life. Why not do that for our future church members? So that they find us, so that God directs their steps. So whatever those particular needs are, write those down. We'll collect those in just a little bit. And we're going to spend just a moment. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to kind of give you an example here for a moment as we pray, how you can pray for us, how you can pray for other members of the church, how you can pray for the nation. So we're going to pray for just a moment. I want to ask you, let your heart agree with what I'm praying. Let's make this an earnest, heartfelt prayer for our nation, for our community, for our church, for one another. So as I'm praying, agree with me in prayer. And like I said, maybe as I'm praying, write some of those needs down. And then also, by the way, I've encouraged you to journal. Now, I don't have many. I thought I had more than this. I brought four with me tonight. If you don't have a journal, you can't afford one, I've got four here I'm happy to give away. So just, you know, it's kind of first come, first serve. I'll try to get some more. But if you want to journal your prayer time and write down what God is saying to you, I think that's a great thing to do. I'm a big believer in writing things down that God says to me. And you know what might happen is as you're praying, one thing you might find happen is every time I pray, it seems like I come back to this thing again. Write that down. Because there's going to come a time where the answer to that comes, and you'll be able to say, this is when God had me pray, this is when He met the need, and that is just so encouraging to see when your prayers particularly are answered, whether it's for someone else or in your own life. Amen? So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. And first of all, we want to do what the Bible says. We enter Your gates with thanksgiving and Your courts with praise. Father, we want to thank You that You have been so good to us. I thank You, You have been so good to me. We always seem to find things to complain about. But Lord, were it not for Your mercies, not one of us would be here today. So we acknowledge Your goodness, Your faithfulness, and Your mercies. We thank You, God of heaven, that You loved us enough to invest into us the blood of Your very own Son. We thank You for the plan of redemption. We thank You, You sought us out by Your Spirit. You chased us down. You brought us into the family of God. You brought us into the knowledge of salvation. And we thank You for that. And Father, we come before You because we want to do business with heaven. We want to see Your will accomplished in the earth. We want to see Your will accomplished in our community. We want to see Your will accomplished in our nation. We want to see Your will accomplished in our families. We want to see Your will accomplished in this church. We want to see Your will accomplished in our lives. Jesus told us to pray that Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that, Lord. We pray that in our nation, in our church, in our community, in our lives, in the lives of our fellow church members, we pray Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray right now for everyone in this room, Lord. I pray that you would fill them with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of you, be fruitful in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God, and be strengthened with your might by your Spirit in their inner man. That there would be that resource of wisdom and knowledge and strength that would see them through, that they would be fruitful, and that they would be a blessing to everyone they encounter. Father, I thank you that you place more in us than we know. There's gifts and latent graces that we've never even exercised yet. I pray that in this month, Father, we would discover gifts and talents and abilities you've placed on the inside of us that we could invest into the work of God. Lord, I know there are those here today that have loved ones, friends, sons, daughters, grandmothers, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers that are not saved. And right now while I'm praying this, you just think of their names. Maybe under your breath, say their names. Father, we pray for, mention their name right now. Father, I pray for them. I'm thinking of a few right now myself, Lord. I think of those two. And I think of that one. I think of that one, Lord. Just members of my family. I pray you would send a laborer across their path to share the good news of Jesus with them. You know whom they will respond to. You know from whom they will receive the Word of God. And we pray, Father, you'd send laborers across their path to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. Hallelujah. Father, we're coming up into an election cycle. And we pray for our nation. Father, you told us to pray, Lord God, that we might have a peaceable, quiet nation so that the gospel could continue to spread, that men would come to know Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that. We pray that you would pour your Spirit out on our nation. We ask you to forgive us for the sins of our nation. Father, we ask you to forgive us for the sin of abortion. We ask you to forgive us for the sin of division and strife and contention. We ask you to forgive us for our idolatries and being caught up with the materialism of this world, Father God, and the things that distract us from you. Have mercy on our nation, Lord God. We know it is not perfect. We ask you to have mercy on our nation. We ask you to protect us from those external forces and internal forces that seek to bring this nation down. We pray you would restore her former greatness by reestablishing the biblical foundation of this nation. We pray you would raise up righteous and godly voices in our land, Father, leaders who would articulate a clear godly vision for our nation needs to go. We thank you that you can use the ungodly, but we pray you would bring the godly into office. And we pray you would remove those who will not yield and respond to you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, right now, as I'm praying these things, things are maybe occurring to your heart, things to pray for, loved ones to pray for, just under your breath, in the quiet chamber of your heart. Just begin to pray those things out. I know that for some of you, there's something you've longed for so long. Purpose in your heart that God is going to move on that particular situation, that particular individual, that particular life this month. We're going to see breakthrough in the life of that individual this month in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for softening hearts. We thank you for reconciling families. Father, there is nothing too difficult for you. And we pray, Father God, that you would move. Now, I want to encourage you, as you're praying for them, don't try to do God's part too. You pray, let Him work on their hearts. Don't tell them, I'm praying for you and God's going to break you down, bring you back. Don't do that. Let God do that. Because they won't listen to you. If they would have, they would have already done what you wanted them to do. So let God do God's part. You do your part. You pray. You believe God to draw their hearts back. Some of you have desires in your heart that are good, godly desires, and you've not seen them come to fruition. Begin to pick that thing back up. Pick that vision, that dream back up. Say, God, I'm asking you to bring the vision you placed in my heart to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for articulating to our hearts your will. And Father, my prayer for each and every one here tonight is that as we come to the end of September and go into the rest of the fall, I thank you for a clarity of vision, a sense of purpose, Father God, that we would know what you called us to do and be, that you would give new direction and meaning to our lives, that we would be excited to wake up in the morning because you put a song in our heart, a vision in our heart. We have a reason to live. We have a reason, a purpose to which we are applying our energies, our time, our lives. I thank you for that, Father. I pray that we would become so focused that we would be agents of change in our world, agents of change in our families, agents of change in our church, agents of change for your glory. We thank you, Father, for it. We believe you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that took all of what? 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was. Doesn't take that long. But you, nowhere in the Bible does it say long prayers are more effective than short prayers. What is effective is biblical prayers, prayers that are in line with the Word. That's why I like to get the Word of God in my prayers. Because as one person said, the Word of God is His part to your prayer life. So like we said, take that Colossians 1, 9 through 11. Take that Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Take some of those prayers of Paul. Go through Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll find them in there. And pray those for your loved ones. Amen. Pray for our nation. The Bible says that we're to pray that we would have, that God would move. In the Bible said that God is able to move in the heart of the king and turn the heart of the king like the rivers of water. In other words, He's able to change it like we can change the course of a river. And so if we can do that, if we can change the influence of a river, God can influence the heart of men. Amen. And sometimes even those who are shaking their fist at God will end up doing His will in spite of themselves because of God's divine influence on their life. Amen. I had a friend who years ago prophesied under the Spirit of God, many, many, many years ago, like 20, 30 years ago. He prophesied that Diane Sawyer would be preaching the gospel on national TV. If you know who Diane Sawyer is, you know it ain't likely. And then one day, he's watching her interview Mel Gibson as Mel Gibson is promoting the Passion of the Christ. And he quotes Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. And so she recaps what he says and basically gives a beautiful little outline of the plan of salvation. And he's telling his wife, this sounds familiar. And she said, you prophesied this X amount of years ago that she would be sharing the gospel on national. Now, that's not what he thought. He thought she'd have some kind of salvation experience, you know, and so forth and so on. But I'm just saying God can get things done in ways we don't anticipate because He's able. Amen. So He will bring His will to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I just want to give you something practical and simple tonight, but something doable, right? And I know we've taught on a lot of these principles before, but the reason why I think it's so important is because, again, if we don't feel like we have a starting place, if we don't feel like we have something that we can begin with, oftentimes we won't invest ourselves into it. So every day, if you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, like we said, we just took a few moments just to pray, and we can pray like that each and every one of us every day. Come, if you can, on Sunday nights, we'll pray together. Wednesday nights, we'll take a time just like we did a while ago. And maybe somebody bold will say, Pastor, can I lead in prayer tonight? And I will be happy to let you. I won't force you. Don't worry. Don't stay away. Won't force you. But, you know, somebody might feel, you know, I want to pray because I have some things I want to pray for our nation. And we'll let you do that. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.
We hope today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Again, to find out more about the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit us at wkcconnect.org. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can email us with your comments, questions, and prayer requests at info@wkcconnect.org. We would love to hear from you.